Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we continue on in a message I've entitled, Only Believe and Thou Shalt See the Glory of God. And we've been looking at the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John, and this is an account of the raising of Lazarus. And I'd like to begin by just completing reading the scripture, laying the setting, if you will, for what occurred up into verse 46. Okay, we left off. Martha had come to Jesus, and she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. That's verse 21. But I know that whatever you ask God, He'll give it to you even now. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Well, the Lord knows how to just get to right where we are living. Obviously, they believed in Jesus. They were living and believing in Jesus. They shall never die. He says this just after Lazarus had died. He's in the grave. And then he said, do you believe this? And she gives a wonderful theological response in verse 27. Yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which has come into the world. She doesn't even answer his question. She just makes this statement, I know who you say you are for sure, but I'm not sure I understand everything that's going on, because if you really loved us, you would not have let this happen. And you would not only that, you took your time getting here. I'm translating this. This is my version. But anyway, so that's all that John records. And so when she said that, she went back, called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master has come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, this is Mary, she arose quickly and came unto him. Remember, obviously, they were both upset. They were probably a little angry. They didn't understand. They were confused, and they were in despair. I mean, it was a time of not only unanswered prayer, there was disappointment and tragedy having affected that household. The loss of a brother or a male presence in the household, doesn't say they were married. It's a very serious thing in that time. And Jesus, of course, was encouraging Martha to believe. And it said Jesus hadn't come into the town yet, but was in that place where Martha met him. In other words, he just stayed there. And then, of course, the Jews were with her, Mary, in the house. They were comforting her, and they saw when she got up, she rose up hastily, went out, followed her. Basically, Martha saying she goeth, no, they followed Mary, excuse me, and they were assuming that she had gone to the grave to weep there. Verse 32, I'm just going to read this now. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, same thing that Martha said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Basically an accusation, right? When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. It's basically says was deeply moved in this particular translation of the Bible I'm using. And what was going on? And he said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. And then, of course, the response of the Jews, those who were around him, they said, behold how he loved him. In other words, there's two ways we can interpret what was going on. Yes, I think he wasn't crying because Lazarus was dead. I think we need to agree on that, because he knew what he was going to do. Jesus, he was not going to leave him in the tomb. He was, I think, perhaps sorrowful, number one, because of the pain and sorrow that death had brought to mankind. These were his personal friends. And the grief that comes when we lose a close loved one, it's only the heart knows his own sorrows. Only God can identify with the grief and sorrow that occurs when someone, a husband, a child, a parent, someone very close to us, we lose them. So he was grieving, and he was entering their sorrow because he knows the sorrow that the human heart can bear. And they interpreted that as that was Jesus' relation with him. And some of them, verse 37, said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, remember he just done that, had caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Again, he was groaning. I believe he was in a time of great sorrow and heaviness of heart, not only because of the sorrow of his beloved friends, but also because they had yet to fully understand, comprehend, and believe who he was that he said he was. He was the resurrection and the life. He wanted to show them that he had power, yes, to raise the dead. And beloved, Jesus has the power to raise whatever dreams, visions, he will bring back. He can bring back their testimonies that people will arise from the dead. I mean, they did in the time of Jesus, and even in the time of the disciples. He hasn't changed. We may not be in the place spiritually to have experienced and believe those impossible things that are beyond the might of natural man, but that's what Jesus was demonstrating even to his beloved disciples and to Mary and Martha. So he was groaning also because of unbelief. They didn't fully realize in the fullness, and that's, you may have walked with the Lord for decades, but I will confess, you know, there's so much more I need to know and receive and understand and experience. And in verse 39, Jesus says, take ye away the stone. And there's Martha again, very practical one. She said, Lord, and that's not in the word, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. Very practical. This is not a good idea, Lord. Jesus saith unto her, said I not, he's repeating himself, unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes. Father, he's praying, I thank thee, thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He was dealing with unbelief, not only of his beloved friends, but those who had cared for them and were around him. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Hallelujah. But some of them, they had just seen a miracle. This wasn't someone who was really mortally ill and perhaps in a coma but still breathing. No, he was dead 4 days, okay? Listen to this. Some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. I mean, instead of rejoicing, they went and reported to the religious leaders. And I was reminded as I read this, as I was preparing to share this with you, there's another story of another Lazarus that Jesus spoke of, and it wasn't really a parable. It was literal reality. This is Luke, the 16th chapter. I'm going to read quickly. Jesus said in verse 19 of chapter 16, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. He was very sick, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Reminds you of Job, huh? And it came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And he didn't end up where Lazarus did, he ended up in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus. You know, I mean, this guy was used to ordering people around, right? Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. He was suffering. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented or in pain. And besides all this, betwixt you and us, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. In other words, there's no way you're getting across. There's no way he can come. Then he said, he realized that that wasn't an answer for him. I pray, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Beloved, that is where it's at today. We've got the Word of God. Yes, signs and wonders are wonderful, but it takes the quickening power of the Holy Spirit, hearts open to receive, ears open to hear the Word of the Lord. And he's still objecting, this rich man. He said, no, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. In verse 31, he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded the one rose from the dead. And then, as we've been reading John the 11th, that's exactly what happened. They saw Lazarus, who'd been dead 4 days, come out of that tomb. And what did they do? They went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. And so, though one rise from the dead, they will not believe. So, even with signs and wonders, beloved, that's why we need to pray that hard hearts would be opened, and that they would respond to the Spirit of God touching their hearts, wooing them, bringing them to the salvation that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. So, at any rate, we will continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I thank you for joining me. This is just, it's so rich. I've read this, I don't know how many times before, but it was like I never read it before in terms of imagining what it was really like at that time and what Jesus was really saying. I love you. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.